Most financial advisors follow the industry playbook. Elite advisors choose a different path. I'm Sten Morgan. Welcome to the Elite Financial Advisor Podcast, where top advisors share the strategies, mindsets, and the stories behind building a better business, adding more value, and the courage to grow through resistance. Because becoming an elite advisor is not about working harder and longer. It's about choosing a better path. Most advisors still to this day have a hard time charging anything for what they do.
Because they're not doing anything of value. The current advisor was saying, but I'm making you money. Big deal. When the market's down, you're losing me money. Should I get a refund? You know?
And then when I started getting into coaching and teaching and meeting advisors around the country, I unfortunately realized how kind of low the value bar is in our business.
That's my point. Yeah.
That if you are doing things like you're talking about, like you can quickly exceed someone's expectations, even if they've had an advisor for 20 years.
So I now have the confidence to talk about these things with clients. It changes the conversation. It changes my body language, the demeanor, everything about me looks different than the average advisor saying, you should have another mutual fund.
Today on this episode, we get to hang out with the man, the myth, the legend, Ed Slott. I love hanging out with Ed. I love the way he talks about IRA planning. Feels like there's a lot of things in our career as advisors that we can get interested in that we go so deep on, but not extremely deep. So we learn enough to help clients with it, but we don't become technicians in it. It is true, we can't all be experts at everything, but when Ed found something that he can dive deep into to add massive value, he went for it. So Ed's going to share some really practical tips with us today about how you can be a better IRA planner, but also I love his energy and his curiosity to always add value to your client. So let's dive in with Ed. Ed, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Your bio is intimidating. I don't even know. It would take the podcast to read it.
It will take the whole podcast.
The good news is for most people listening, we've heard your name, and I'm thankful for all you've done. I'm curious. I'd love to hear the background. Obviously, you give a lot back to the industry now. Your introduction into the business, and then when did you first grab on to like, this is a topic that I wanted to go deep into?
1986. That's when they came out with the IRA regulations for distributions.
Right.
And there were pages and pages. It wasn't even written in English, maybe Sanskrit or Russian or something. And I was a practicing CPA then. And I was actually doing things a little before then. As a practicing CPA, as all CPAs are trained, unfortunately, is mainly if you have a CPA practice, you're doing tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
Tax returns don't help anybody. I learned that quickly. Yeah. You know what I tell clients? Tax preparation costs you money. Tax planning makes you money.
Mm.
Big difference. Tax preparation, you're looking at the past. What are you going to do with that? It already happened. You're just reporting on history.
Yeah.
Most tax preparers are history teachers. They tell you what already happened. So it hit me in my late 20s. This is no way to make a living. Everybody does that. There's no way to stand out and add value and get higher fees and better clients, because they can go anywhere as a commoditized, marginalized service, which it's more so today. You can get half this stuff done for free. Same, by the way, hate to say it, not only my profession, but financial advisors. You know, managing money, I know there's a skill to it, but the public perception is commoditization. Everybody does it. What do you do that's special? So it hit me as doing tax returns at this very desk over 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. I would have clients, and every time they came in, and excuse my, I have a sore throat I'm nursing from talking too much.
You're right.
and being at different climates, like three of them this past week.
Oh, man.
As CPAs, you know, you do tax returns. I would do somebody's tax return, and then I'd be sitting there saying, oh, you know what you could have done? Oh, if you only did this, woulda, coulda, should. what is the point of that, telling them everything they could have done?
To upset them about what they missed out on?
Yeah. And that would happen every year. But I fixed that like 2 or 3 years in, even my 20s. I said, this is no way to provide value. Why don't we do the return, but then talk about what they can do in the future, mm-hmm. not next year, but a lifetime of saving taxes and multi-generational planning for their beneficiaries. So I wanted to do higher value services. So I went into estate planning. Mm-hmm. That was back in 1980 when I was 26, 81, I think, when the Reagan Tax Act came out, and that changed the plane of estate planning with marital deductions, Q-tip trusts, all that kind of stuff. I said, oh, that's valuable stuff. You could save clients hundreds of thousands, even millions. Now, that's worth something.
Yeah.
But then I was only in my 20s. I was doing it, and I had clients. But most clients that were, you know, most of the clients with the money were in their 60s or 70s. Why would they take advice from a 20-year-old or a 28-year-old or a 30-year-old?
Sure.
And more estate planners had more experience than me in that. But then in 86, that's when I got the epiphany. When the IRA rules came out, I said to myself, oh boy, this is going to affect everyone and nobody's going to understand one word of it. Mm. Not only that, nobody can have more experience than me because we're all starting at the same point. These just came out. The old-time estate planners, they don't want to learn Russian now. Sure. They don't want to learn this stuff. They'll keep doing this stuff. So I spent a few years learning all of these tax rules that will apply to everybody and still do.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that was my big, bold prediction, if you want to call it that. Back in 86, I said, you know what? Anybody in 30 years, anybody who's still alive will be 30 years older. I know that's a big prediction.
That's right.
But their accounts will grow and they will have these problems. And these are the most complex tax rules. So that was the edge. I said, nobody is doing this. Nobody wants to do this. Nobody wants to learn this. And there's the angle. There's the edge that you provide value on. And that's more true today than ever before. The rules have become the distribution, the tax planning for retirement accounts have become not only more complex, but also more unforgiving. You only get one chance to get it done right. And still, most people, most advisors don't have this required knowledge. Yes, they can help you with investments. Mm-hmm. But what good is that? I don't care how much they can make you 30% a year for 30 years. What good is that if you lose it all on the way out because you didn't do the tax planning for their largest single asset, the 401k or the IRA?
Yep.
So that built this whole built this whole business, but I wasn't thinking of it like that. I was just doing it for my own clients and finding things I could charge more because it was more value. Yeah. Not simply to charge more, but to charge where they see value. You know, it's the old saying, price is only an issue in the absence of value.
Yeah.
Once they see, you know, what I just did is going to save your family $3 million. Here's a $10,000 bill. No problem. I mean, you know,
Let's talk about that for a second, because most advisors still to this day have a hard time charging anything for what they do.
Because they're not doing anything of value.
Okay, that's fair.
What are they doing? Managing money? And they may be doing it well, but everybody does it. You got to, you know, it's an old saying in baseball, hit them where they ain't.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to the advisor that is sprinkling on these ideas for free because they manage money?
Well, it may get them the clients, but it won't keep the clients, because eventually the clients will, and I know this because the advisors that take our IRA training programs bring in multi-million dollar, million dollar plus IRAs all the time, many times from advisors they've had for 30 years that were bringing these ideas to their attention, especially clients in their 60s heading into RMDs in their 70s. Mm-hmm. They kept saying, why wasn't I getting this from my current advisor?
Yeah.
And the current advisor was saying, but I'm making you money. Big deal. When the market's down, you're losing me money. Should I get a refund? You know, you can't build a business, in my opinion, on price and performance. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. It took me years to realize when I was an active advisor, I was kind of trapped in, I think, what everybody else was doing. Almost like, I think you have to do it this way. And then when I started getting into coaching and teaching and meeting advisors around the country, I unfortunately realized how kind of low the value bar is in our business.
That's my point. Yeah.
that if you are doing and things like you're talking about, like you can quickly exceed someone's expectations, even if they've had an advisor for 20 years. And then it shocked me.
Plus, I got to change. You're doing multi-generational planning into your future of your business, your next client, the beneficiary. You know, most beneficiaries, when a client dies, they go to some other advisor, a friend of theirs who once read a book about it or something. Yes. They don't, you know, because there's no connection.
Sure.
And when I started doing estate planning, I always brought in the kids, and they're not kids, the adult children, 40, 50 years old. And I made a connection with the next generation talking about this is what's going to be here for you. Mm-hmm. This is how the distribution's going to work. There's going to be life insurance or Roth conversions or whatever. And they saw real value. And I got a lot of them over the years as clients. And I'm getting so old now, I'm getting the grandchildren, but I don't take clients anymore. I got away from that years ago. But they would still call me. I just got a call today from somebody that I worked with back almost 20 years ago. I guess usually when I get that call, I didn't look.
But you added too much value.
Yeah. Usually when I get this, somebody sent me this, you know, they pulled this file.
Sure.
And usually when I get a call like this after many years, it probably means somebody died. But
yeah.
Remember, when I was doing the estate planning, I was in my 30s and my clients were in their 70s. Now I'm in my early 70s and they're all dead except for maybe two people.
Wow.
So that's probably what that means. But there was real lifetime value they saw. And advisors, you got to look where the money is. The money is in IRAs, trillions of dollars in IRAs that are like strangled with these tax rules,
yeah.
Landmines, an obstacle course of tax rules. Mm-hmm. If you know them, you are going to attract big money because consumers are getting smarter. I see it even on podcasts like this when I do for consumers and I see the comments back. But did you know? I just did a program today, earlier, right before this, for the group of doctors. And they knew more than most financial advisors.
Wow.
You know, they said, oh, I switched all my 401ks and now I'm going to the Roth and all of that. Mm-hmm. And they had their documents and beneficiary forms. But they were there because they each said they had financial advisors, but they weren't discussing this.
Wow. Raise your hand if you've ever been to a financial advisor event that didn't really change you. Maybe the speakers were interesting, maybe you had a few good conversations, but when you got home, nothing about your business actually improved. I've been to a lot of these events over the years. Events full of inspiration, but short on practical strategies you can actually use. The advisor of the future knows how to clearly communicate their value, prospect with intention, and deliver financial planning advice clients actually understand. That's why we built How to Charge Live. This isn't an event built around hype or theory. It's an event built for advisors by advisors. 1,000 advisors have attended How to Charge Live, including advisors with more than 20 years of business experience. And over, we hear the same thing. This is the best advisor event I've ever attended. I want to personally invite you to join me at my office in Franklin, Tennessee this October for 2 days focused on helping you build more valuable business. I'm going to walk you through my entire process, how to communicate your value well, how to add value through fee-based financial planning, and how to create a framework to help you scale your business faster. Seats are limited, so visit howtochargelive.com to secure your seat now. What would you, to the advisors listening, that's most of our audience, I think there's so much time spent getting new business and not enough spent, or maybe there's not capacity to.
You have to earn it. You don't get new business, you attract it. That's the difference. That's what always happened to me. I never really looked for it. When people realized what I was doing, it was referrals. It was attracted, and you attract better clients.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to prospect for new business. But once you're talking this language, and the IRA tax language, like I said, is Sanskrit. It's a different language,
yeah.
Russian, whatever you want to call it. Once they see you talking like that, because the clients know some things, mm-hmm. that changes the game. Because first of all, you have to have the competence to talk like that.
Yeah.
And competence leads to confidence. And mm-hmm. confidence, if there's one word, that's the word that advisors say when they leave our programs and work on that, they say confidence. I now have the confidence to talk about these things with clients. It changes the conversation. It changes my body language, the demeanor. Everything about me looks different. any average advisor saying you should have another mutual fund.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I think most advisors are meeting or probably meeting clients' expectations. I bet I'm going to go into this room. They're going to talk to me about investments, maybe try to sell me insurance. It's like, how do we exceed their expectations?
But you can do the product sales. Look, I don't do any product sales. I never did. I don't do stocks, bonds, insurance, annuities. I'm a tax advisor. But for many years, I brought up life insurance to clients and other products, and I would bring their advisor in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the products can still be sold if you know how to position them in an overall tax plan. Tax planning is everything.
Yep.
I'm telling you, you know, there will always be taxes. It's recession proof.
Yeah.
It's AI proof. The reason I say it's AI proof, because AI gets this stuff wrong all the time, and people rely on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I just got a notice from one of my books I wrote over 20 years ago from, I think the company was called Anthropic. You ever hear of it?
Mm-hmm.
They're an AI company. They were just sued for billions of dollars for stealing authors' work and putting
it. I did read that.
Yeah. I was on that list. So I got notified that they're using my stuff from a book I wrote in 2002 that's over 20 years ago, and they're putting that stuff out on AI. That's not even correct.
Wow.
So, can you imagine the tax laws back over 20 years ago? So you can't rely on that.
Yep.
You can't bet your life savings on that. Yes, clients or future prospects might do some research to see if their advisor's up to speed, but the advisor, you know, can't rely on AI. They really need actual information, advice, planning materials. Like here, for example, this is the program manual we just did, our 2-day program. That's our foundational program. I don't know if you heard of it, but
we've
been running it for 20 years. Every program sells out. We just did this last week in Las Vegas. Nice. The advisors who attend, they get this manual. We go through it, 400-page manual in 2 days. Walking out of there is not going to make you an expert,
mm-hmm.
but it raises your antennas. One of the common comments we get during the program, we would have advisors come up and say, I've been in the business 30 years, but I didn't know how much I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's your edge. The advisor that doesn't know, they don't know. They're dangerous.
Yeah.
They don't know to ask questions. So the minimum you get from this, you know, you have to stick with it and really learn this stuff.
Sure.
But we have advanced training programs for that too.
Yeah.
But at least if a client comes in with a situation, you say, oh, you know, I know there's something about that. I don't know exactly what it was, but there's something there, you know, to question it.
Love that. So for the advisors listening, if we could give them, obviously that's a thick book, what are some really practical ideas, strategies they could start using with clients tomorrow that will kind of push them into this direction?
Well, first thing, again, you got to build your game.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get competent. You can't just say I'm competent like everybody says. And they do it with products. Everybody says we're the best at everything.
Sure.
But they're not. And that model may work to get a few clients, but it won't cut it long term. You have to do the work. But the information, I think our programs are the best. I think they're the only ones in the whole industry that do what we do. Yeah. I think I don't know of anybody else who goes all in. But I went all in because that's where the money was. That's where all the money in America is and is going to the next generation.
Yeah.
So if you could start speaking that language, and the good place to start would be the 2-day program, and you'll have different conversations even from that program with clients, and you'll see the results. You'll start attracting multi-million dollar plus IRAs. Most of advisors that go to our programs get those. They attract that kind of money.
Nice.
From other less informed advisors in almost every case.
Yeah. So what would be some of the biggest mistakes you see advisors make when it comes to IRA planning?
Well, simple things like adding value, having conversations, you know, conversations where you know what you're talking about. I keep couching it like that. You just can't talk to them after a while. After the weather and sports, you have to have something to talk about.
Sure.
And you might start something simple, checking beneficiary forms. You know how many times that is missed? And we see that's probably the number one problem where clients don't have beneficiary forms updated, even advisors. I still get calls from financial advisors. They'll say, oh, Ed, my client just died. Should I check their beneficiary form now? They're dead. What are you going to do now? And, you know, that opens up conversations. That is such a meaningful service and a high value service, because to review the beneficiary forms, you have to ask about the family. And that's good business in any business. Who do you want to get your money? And sometimes people would come in, and I bet you if they search their client list and look at beneficiary forms, they're going to see what I see. Remember that movie? It was over maybe 30 years ago with Bruce Willis, The Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah.
What was the key line in that movie?
I see dead people. No, I'm just
kidding. That's right. Oh, that's what I see on beneficiary forms. I see dead people.
Yeah.
They'll see, advisors will, you know, look at beneficiary forms. I've had it myself where clients would come in. I look at the beneficiary. Who's your beneficiary form? Oh, it's my wife. She died 20 years ago. Well, you know, or anytime there's a life event, a birth, a death, a marriage, a divorce, you had a new grandchild, a change in tax laws. Mm-hmm. These are all things to open up valuable conversation. So easy. And and the value is perceived right away because it's not complicated tax stuff. It's a beneficiary form. Everybody understands. Imagine how relieved some client. You want to rig the game and start with a win? Go to any client that was recently divorced. I'll bet you that beneficiary form still has the ex-wife on there.
Sure.
So, I mean, imagine having that conversation and you're with them and says, your wife, I thought you were divorced. Oh, yeah, she's going to get the money. I don't want that.
That's right.
Yeah. You may have saved that whole family. That's high value. And that's what gets people talking about you.
Is it true that some states now have put a protection in place that if that happens, they automatically...
Yeah, but that's no good.
Okay.
That's no good. They call rep, and we teach that, and we teach everything in this program. We teach about revocation upon divorce laws, and it's in most states. But why would you want the state doing your estate plan?
Sure.
You know, that's a default. Like if I screwed up and didn't do it, it takes my ex-wife off. But what if you actually came from a giant Supreme Court case on that, and one of the Supreme Court justices said, well, what if you wanted the ex-spouse? How do we know what was in the deceased's head? And they came up with the conclusion that, well, if that's what you want, don't rely on revocation upon divorce laws after death, after divorce, I should say. After divorce, if you want that spouse, ex-spouse on there, then update the beneficiary form to prove your intention.
Okay.
It's up to you that it goes to the right people, because if the state on revocation upon divorce laws takes the ex-spouse off, where's it going to go? It may go to all the wrong people.
Sure.
That's, you're letting the state do your estate plan.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it because I do feel like the beneficiary form kind of feels like a throwaway admin item.
It's not. It's so valuable, but people understand it.
Like to me, it sounds like the way you're putting it is like it's the conversation it creates by bringing it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, why did you have him? Oh, you have the kid as a beneficiary. Didn't you tell me that kid has addiction problems? Maybe you need a trust for him. Maybe he shouldn't inherit money. Maybe it should go to the grandchildren, use the generation skipping transfer tax. You know, it just has branches everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great. Okay, beneficiaries, what else comes in? I know that's a thick book.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. We have one section in here, 25 IRA rules you must know, where we see the most problems. One is the beneficiary form, but also fatal IRA errors, things that can't be changed, like a non-spouse beneficiary cannot do a rollover. So you get a child, and again, adult child, let's say 40, 50 years old, we see this all the time. They inherit $1 million IRA. Nobody told them that if they take the money out, it's all taxable. We see lots of cases of this now where the younger beneficiaries were not into the old-time conservative investments the parent had. Mm-hmm. So we see cases all the time where the beneficiary, in fact, there's one in our book, it became a court case and they lost, of course, actually a private letter ruling. And what the kids did, they pulled out all the money because they wanted to invest it in something they want. It changed investments. So they realized as soon as they did it, I guess they, when they got the 1099, that it was all taxable. It was over. They don't even have an inherited IRA. So they went to the IRS to say, we made a mistake. Can we put it back in? What, if you want to change investments, you do a trustee-to-trustee transfer, say, to a new institution. Mm-hmm. But you once you take the money out, only a spouse can do a rollover. A non-spouse beneficiary cannot. And that's an irrevocable mistake. It's over. All those years of growth and compounding gone. All the taxes due immediately.
So something set that like up. That. A spouse can take the money out.
Oh, yeah. A spouse can do a rollover. I'm talking when it goes
anybody
to the
else.
Kids. Right. Nobody else. Or even Roth conversions. You know, some advisors, this was changed a while ago, they advise on Roth conversions, but those are permanent now. You cannot undo them.
I remember there was a couple of years when I was a young advisor where we'd do it in the January.
Can't do it anymore.
We'd undo it. We thought we were being super strategic.
I did it too. Yeah. We went in and out and in and out. Yeah. The government, that was in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and where the ABA law, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, extended many of those provisions, they kept that one. Roth conversions are permanent. So you really have to have a good projection to know what the tax is, because once you convert, you will owe the tax, even if your financial situation changes by the time the bill comes to. So that's a mistake. Another mistake is moving money. I don't know why advisors do 60-day rollovers. Or once, you know, there's a once per year IRA rollover. You blow that rule, irrevocable. It's taxable. There's no fix for it. There are so many things like that in the law where there's just no fix if you make a mistake. Or one of the most popular sessions we do at the end of this, something on NUA, net unrealized appreciation and employer security. We find in our programs that brings in the largest amount of new business in the shortest time, sometimes a week after attending this program. Mm. Why? Because they're having conversations with clients that weren't even told about this in the plan or never heard about it from another advisor. And that is particularly true now with the rise in the market value of some people's stock and 401ks. So there's another irrevocable.
Can you explain NUA at a high level real quick?
Yeah. Yeah. You're basically trading ordinary income for capital, long-term capital gain rates on the buildup in the 401k, the appreciated value. But it only works if you follow the rules. So here's the big mistake. Many clients, many advisors will tell clients without being aware of this or understanding how it works, because they leave the company and there's more people leaving company with big balances than ever before now. And they say, roll it over to your IRA. And the client does that. Well, now the NUA deal is off. That's irrevocable. You can't go back. Mm-hmm. And there's been rulings on that. And advisors have wanted to kick themselves for missing that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity is, if you, your purchase price, your cost of shares, which we're seeing all the time, maybe 100,000 over the years, and now it's worth 2 million. That's a lot of appreciation by doing the net unrealized appreciation, not doing an IRA rollover, mm-hmm. taking the shares part or all out in kind as stock. You pay tax only on the basis, the cost, which is very low, and the appreciation will be taxed whenever it is sold at long-term capital gain rates. That's going to be half of the ordinary rates. Because if you just rolled that over to an IRA, you may be at the top rate, ordinary income tax rate. So while
that's for advisors listening that have worked with clients that work at companies for a long time that have highly appreciated stock in their 401k.
And a lot do. Target anybody in their 60s that has been working for a company 10 or 20 years. The appreciation is going to be off the charts. We had an advisor in one of our programs that told the story of this woman that had worked for, she called it like, I work for this paint company and I have this stock. It was Sherman Williams and it wasn't a paint company. There was millions and millions of dollars of appreciation in there.
Wow.
As an advisor, I'm always curious about what is the path that most people don't choose. It may be the most difficult and challenging, but it will get me to my goal faster than everybody else. So we are launching Elite Plus. This is the community for advisors that really want to engage. You get to hang out with me a couple times a month live, asking questions, trying to grow our practice together. You'll get for free our financial planning software that'll help you deliver a better financial planning experience to your clients. You'll have access to Q&A cohorts with other advisors, and you'll have a full library of resources. This is for you if you are ready to go all in. If you want to be challenged to grow, you need to come hang out in Elite Plus. Join the Elite Plus membership today. Visit gobeelite.com and experience the program that transforms advisors into leaders.
Do you find, I feel like a lot of advisors are coaching their clients to sell concentrated stock and diversify it, which kind of then...
That would be a mistake. You could do that later. But get it out, get the NUA benefit, then sell the shares at long-term capital gain rates and diversify.
Can you NUA with an in-service withdrawal, or do they have to be retiring?
No, you have to, 59 and a half, death, disability, things like that. Separation from service.
Triggering event.
Yeah, those are triggering events. Separation from service, 59 and a half, death or disability. And that's another thing that's missed. A triggering event is death. Most advisors do not realize that if the client would have qualified for the NUA break while he was alive, so does the beneficiary. Mm. Who would ever tell that to a beneficiary? Nobody.
Yeah. Which gets us back to making sure your beneficiaries are right.
And even moving money, the once per year IRA rollover rule, irrevocable, and people don't understand that. You only get one shot to move, one shot per year, and it's not a calendar year. This is where advisors make mistake. They misunderstand the once per year IRA rollover rule. They'll do a rollover IRA to IRA in December and do another one in January, thinking it's another year. No, it's 365 days. And the second one is taxable. There's just no way to fix that.
Are you
extremely doing 60-day rule? You should only be doing direct or trustee to trustee transfers.
Are you extremely bullish on Roth IRAs?
Yes.
What about for someone that's in the highest bracket? Would you coach them to split it between the two? Would you say just
But here's what I found, even in my own practice when I had it and hearing from advisors at our programs. People that are in the top bracket will always be in the top bracket, whatever it is. They just fall out that way. But the common question, like the one you asked, is you have an executive or a doctor, maybe they're making $800,000 a year. They say, I'll definitely be in a lower tax bracket in retirement because that's what the Roth decision is. It's a bet on future tax rates. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we know what tax rates are today. And the ABA law, one of the biggest provisions of that, the extension of the low tax rate, permanent extension. But let me stop there. The word permanent in the tax code has a totally different meaning than the word permanent in the dictionary.
Sure.
In the dictionary, it means irreversible, irrevocable, etched in stone, not changeable, permanent. In tax code, it means until a future Congress changes the rules.
Yep.
We have a saying among CPAs, tax laws are written in pencil. But we do have these low rates now, at least for 3 or 4 years. That's the time to bang it home. So watch, you're in a 37% bracket. We know what these rates are. We don't know what future rates might be. Look at the history of tax rates. Tax rates are 70s, 80s, 70, 50%. And I look at the debt deficit levels, especially the debt. I don't know what it is, 37, 38, 39 trillion. All I know is if they have to round up to the nearest trillion, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that means somewhere somebody's got to pay for it. Now, I've been saying that for years, and Congress has been kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
But at some point, the math has got to hit the fan. And you don't want to be exposed to unknown future higher tax rates. And even the people that are in a high bracket now, there may be a little oasis, a little lag where and we've seen this with clients, they retire, they're making big money. They retire at 65 or 66, and then their income goes down. that is the sweet spot to start doing these Roth conversions while income goes down before they're forced to take the money out at 73. They have that little lag. Yeah. Those are the kind of clients you should identify and say, let's take advantage of these low rates in your low income years.
I do find feedback I get from advisors is a lot of CPAs provide pushback because a lot of like delay at all costs, delay. And we're telling them.
Because that's how we were trained. We were hardwired from my first day in college. And that's how they beat you to death. I never have a client pay a tax. Never pay a tax before you have to. Always defer, put it off. In fact, if when you were a kid and your mother told you to do something and you said, not now, Ma, I'll do it later, you would have become an accountant. Because you were trained to defer, to put things off.
Yeah.
But once I saw the Roth many years ago, over 20 years ago, almost 30 years ago now, I became a recovering accountant because I saw the light. You got to look big picture planning. Accountants tend to be short-sighted. That's the enemy of all good tax planning.
Yeah, well said. That's good. Ed, I love hearing you talk about this stuff. Feels like your passion keeps growing.
Well, yeah. There's so many opportunities, like I said, for advisors to just dig in and find value. It's a treasure trove if you're looking in the right place. And, you know, I know they do investments and all that, but you can do that too. But that this high value stuff will bring you those and more of that. You will attract better clients, larger IRA balances for sure once you're speaking this kind of language.
Yeah, I think there's, as I hear you say, there's two things. There's one, it's learning it, the competency you talked about, but hopefully that leads to increased confidence, which leads to you being
able to
communicate it clearly.
Like anything. Look, you go to a store to buy something, a high ticket item, maybe it's a car or some household appliance or something like that. So you do your homework. 5 seconds into the talk with the salesman, you know if he knows what he's talking about. If he's going, well, it could be, maybe, probably, you know that guy doesn't know. He doesn't know. You can smell confidence on people, and that's what makes you attractive.
Yeah, well said. Ed, I appreciate you, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and maybe some advisors will step it up and watch their business grow.
I hope so.